Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What's up, guys? Don't forget to sub to Patreon so that you can see the visuals. Because not only do we have episodes of the podcast, we have exclusive content that nobody else sees on any other apps, behind the scenes, photo shoots, and we're dropping a whole bunch of surprising stuff this year. So if you guys don't want to miss out and you want to be the first to know, go over to our Patreon, www.dumbblondeunrated.com. Love ya. Is this thing on?
Bonnie, who used to be a former sex worker and now hosts the podcast Dumb Blonde.
Most little girls grow up wanting to be doctors and lawyers and shit. And I was like, I want to be super hot, make a lot of fucking money, and be a rock star's wife. That was my goal as a child. And here we are.
What's up, you sexy motherfuckers? Welcome to another episode of Dumb Blonde. Today, I have one of my favorite humans on social media. I have been following this woman for such a long time. We've talked and it has finally come to fruition. Brittany, is it Furlon?
Furlon.
I never want to pronounce it the wrong
way. That's okay. Everyone says it differently.
Brittany Furlon, baby. What's
Yay.
Up?
What's up, dude? I'm so happy to be here.
Dude, you are just like a warm hug. Aww. Your energy is always so sweet.
Thanks.
Even when people are attacking you, you're so fucking nice. Sometimes I want to be like, leave my girl alone, Aww. You know, and like go crazy. But for some reason, I just always want to give you the biggest hug.
Oh, thanks, Bonnie.
Yeah,
you know, you're
sure.
So, it's so funny because we're meeting in person for the first time. Mm-hmm. But you know how you meet someone and you just feel cozy?
Mm-hmm.
Like you're a cozy person.
Oh, you want to climb inside of me?
Yeah, I want to give you a big hug. No, I'm like, it's crazy. Like you're just like, you know how some, well, for me, I'm always nervous around people.
Yeah.
Just everyone.
Yeah. You don't know what to expect.
I'm very uncomfortable all the time almost. So like when you meet someone that you're like, okay, I can just chill. Like it's nice.
I can let my tits hang out.
Yeah. You're that person. I just take my top off. Yeah.
That's what I strive for.
Yeah, exactly.
It's to get you naked.
You're a comfort person. I'm dead. They're going to have to pay more on the Patreon for that. Yeah,
for sure. It wouldn't be the first time we've had some titties flop out on the podcast.
Really?
So yeah.
Who took their titties out?
Well, I know Jessie Lawless off the top took her fucking, and she's a full lesbian, gorgeous tits.
Wow.
I feel like every fucking lesbian has the nicest tits.
Wow. She's with Jenna Jameson.
Yes.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. Jenna might be coming on the podcast. We're waiting to see, but yeah, she might be coming on the podcast.
That's crazy, man. Yeah, I know. I hate that because like I would pull my tits out. My husband would be like, but you know, I hate it because people are always like, your tits are fake. That's like the worst.
They're real,
100%.
Yeah.
I actually
got a nice rack.
I wear sports bras because I don't like my tits.
You got a beautiful set of knockers.
Thanks.
I've seen them in bikinis.
I mean, it's like I flashed at the Motley show because my husband wasn't getting. He always asked people to like, you know, and he wasn't getting any. So I flashed there and I was just like,
oh,
whatever.
His crowd finally got too old to start flapping their titties.
Yeah, they're like, we don't really want to do that. So my husband's like, you come out and flash your tits. And I'm like, I could care less. Like, might as well show them while they're nice.
Yeah,
you know
for
what I mean?
Sure.
They're not going to be nice forever.
Oh, listen, I have my butthole on the internet. So
Stop.
Listen, listen, I'm going to go to a Motley Crue show just to see.
Britney's titties.
I'm dead. Well, I don't know if I'll show them again, but I can show you later personally. All right. And I'll let you feel them too if you want.
I would love
there's no implant in here. I hate that.
Really?
People are constantly like, I've done filler and stuff in my face. Mm-hmm. I'm always very honest. I've been very transparent about it because I never want anyone to feel less than, you know, I never want anyone to look at me and go
or like unrealistic expectations.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I will always be honest. I get laser, you know, I do filler here and there, Botox, but I've never touched my
body
below my neck ever.
I love
so
that.
It's just like weird when people are just like, they just have to like,
and give it to you. And it's like they want you to fucking draw blood just proving that.
Yeah.
And then once you do prove it, they still don't believe you. Like the internet, I have to argue with the internet about my age. People tell me, I'm like, I'm 44. And people are like, no, you're not. Google says you're 29, right? And I'm like, I'm not. Trust me.
Fuck,
I would
go with 29. I'd be like, you know what? You're right.
Why would I say I'm 44? I'd say maybe 34 or 36. But yeah, not 29. But yeah, that's just how the internet is.
I'd be pumped about that. I'd be like, well, that is true. Google said it. I'm 29, bitch.
I'm a fucking eternal vampire until one day I wake up and I'm just fucking old and haggard.
It's 29. They're like, it's still 29.
Literally. Yeah, literally. That's what
I'm always dead. I'm dead.
So I wanted to just kind of deep dive into finding out more about you. Like, I Googled you last night and like, this girl has lived a full life.
I'm tired.
She's
you know,
I
told my husband's 61 and I'm 37 and I am just like, the fact that like I'm gonna probably live till 60, I'm like, I don't know how people do it.
Yeah, like what do we do?
What are we supposed to do?
I'm
so physically burnt just from like being anxious and being in fight or flight my whole life that I'm like, how do I do another 30 years? Like, I don't even know. Like, I'm so exhausted at 37 that I can't even imagine being 60. Like, it's crazy.
I get that because when I was going through my like suicidal ideation, and that's another reason I've always been like super like attracted to you is that you are so open about your mental health journey, which we'll dive into in a little bit. But I think that right now, especially in the times that we live in, is so fucking important because people try to act like everything's fine all the time.
I hate that.
And I love the fact that you're like, I am fucking about to get on a flight and I am scared to death. And like, you're just so real about it, you know? So I really, really appreciate that. What I was saying is when I was going through my suicidal ideation, I remember looking at Jay and I was like, I don't know how I'm going to live till 50.
Yeah.
I don't want to be here till 50. Now I'm kind of like, shit, I might want to hang out till I'm 80, you know? But back when I was feeling like, you know, really depressed, it was really brutal just thinking about having to live another 10 years, you know?
I mean, when I was younger and I wasn't on any antidepressants and I grew up, you know, with a mom who has borderline and my dad worked all the time and I just was really struggling. And I remember I used to want to die all the time. Mm. I would pray to God, I don't want to wake up. I don't want to wake up. I don't want to be here anymore. And then finally, when I was 16, I was a cutter. And so I got caught at school cutting. They sent me to the hospital. I got put in inpatient. And then from there, they ended up putting me on an antidepressant.
At 16?
Yeah. Oh. So I've been on the same one since 16. And it's called Effexor, XR. It's a gnarly one. Like, it basically, it really works, right? So, like, I have really bad panic, anxiety, and it does a good job to the point like where I'm able to like go on tour with my husband. I'm able to, you know, do things. Mm-hmm. Like when I got put on it, they put me on like 150 milligrams. Now I weaned myself down through the years to the starting dose.
Wow.
But I've tried to get off of it completely because, you know, my life has changed and your life does change. And that's what I think people need to remember is that, you know, you may be in a season of your life where things are horrible. And you don't want to be here, but that doesn't mean that spring isn't coming. You know, it does. It comes. You know, people sit there and they think this is forever. It's not. Nothing's forever, good and bad, right? So I weaned myself down to the lowest dose of that, and so I've just been on that forever, and it just kind of helps me get through. You know what I mean? And it's hard. It's really hard. Do you take anything to help yourself?
I don't.
Yourself?
I'm just good fucking raw dogging life. I'm not against it though. There was I had a Xanax addiction because my anxiety was so bad. So
that's hard to kick, man.
I did it cold turkey, and I have to caution you guys. You cannot quit Xanax cold turkey. I'm just telling you, my story, and that's how I did it. But I don't know how I fucking didn't end up having seizures because I was on so much of it. But
the fact that you made it through that is insane because benzodiazepine.
Children's Benadryl.
Getting off of it.
children.
That is so fucking crazy. We have that in common. So when I got off of the Effexor for what, I only did 1 year. I was off of Effexor right before Vine started.
Yeah.
I was off of Effexor for a whole year. And, you know, and I'm still have this issue with Effexor, and I'm sure anyone that has taken it will relate to this, is to say it's almost as hard or if not worse than kicking heroin. Your body, your brain is so addicted to it. I don't even know why they prescribe it. I mean, other than it does work for depression and panic, but the getting off of it is unreal. I got off of it the whole year. My head, I couldn't walk straight. I was spinning. I felt like vertigo. Felt like I was going to throw up.
Gosh.
I started going to the Balance Center on La Cienega to help me learn how to walk straight, because I would walk like I was on a boat for a year, and I would call my doctor and I'd go, this Effexor fucked my brain up, man. Like, this fucked me up. And he would gaslight me and say, no, it's not. It's not. You're fine. You're fine. And blah. And I used to take children's Benadryl all day.
It's a savior.
All day. Yeah. And people will be like, how are you taking that and not falling asleep?
Yeah.
Because my nervous system was so wrecked.
Oh,
right?
My gosh.
And so I was taking this children's Benadryl all day. And then I fought for a whole year. I said, I'm going to give it a year. If I don't get better, then I'm going to get back on it. And I just couldn't do it. A year later, I was still sick. I started doing Vine. I was getting all these opportunities.
Yeah.
And I couldn't go to the meetings because I was too
just
sick,
up,
like shaky, confused. It gives you brain fog. Like, I think it permanently changed the chemistry of my brain, right?
Yeah.
So then I went back on it and it all went away.
That is insane.
So it's kind of fucked.
That's what I tell people about getting off Xanax. They're like, well, when did you start feeling better? And I'm like, honestly, probably 2023. And I got sober in 2017.
Oof.
I'm like, it has taken so, and I'm still not 100%. You know, like, you, when you have when you take pills that mess with your neurological system.
Oh my God.
I don't, it takes forever.
I'm so proud of you.
Oh, I appreciate you.
That is
you.
Really I'm fucking hard, dude. People don't realize. I mean, I would do anything to not be on anything, but I also know that in my family there's schizophrenia, there's borderline, there's all this stuff, so like
that.
If I didn't take it, I'm really putting myself at risk for not
absolutely
being healthy. And like, I'm like, you know what, this is a tiny bit, and I try to just give myself grace and just be like, it's not, you know, I don't take benzos, I don't do any of that, so that's the only thing I take.
I've always wanted to ask you, where do you think the trauma started that you have, that have such a dysregulated nervous system? Like, the, I know my trauma started when I was fucking probably at the moment of conception, you know, because they do say trauma starts in the womb. So I mean, I feel like my mom was diagnosed schizophrenic.
It's
definitely in the family too. Dad's a narcissist. So, you know, the trauma starts as children. Like, tell me a little bit about your childhood.
Well, I mean, it's like the body keeps the score, right? So
yes.
That's a really big book. So my mom was pregnant with me, and I was born with a really severe birth defect. I was born with clubbed feet. So my feet were bent in completely, almost backwards. And at that time, 1986, there wasn't like a really good surgery for that. So they didn't know if I was ever going to walk. So immediately upon being born, I'm taken from my mom and I'm put in casts, heavy casts. And they bent my leg straight, which was painful, and they put these casts on.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I couldn't move. I couldn't roll over as a baby. And I'm like, I can't even imagine, just even as a baby, obviously, I don't remember.
Your nervous system.
My nervous system, immediately, as soon as you enter the world, you're being thrown in these heavy casts. You can't roll over. You can't do anything. And I do have memories of just being really scared all the time. And I don't know why. I was just scared. My parents, my mom yelled a lot.
Oh, upset of my stepmom.
So that yelling, I just, like, it just would freak me out and throw shit, break stuff.
Yeah.
And I just was like, I can't handle this as a kid, I remember. And
do you yell as an adult now?
No.
Yeah, I'm
like
the same way too.
This meager, meek person because of that. And so I remember laying in my crib, and I just remember being really scared all the time. Probably my earliest memory is that my dad felt so bad for me. He used to sleep on the floor next to my crib. And that would be the only thing that made me feel safe. And I couldn't roll over because I had casts on my legs. And I remember my dad would try to army crawl out of the room, and I'd go, eh? And then he'd just lay back down. But I do remember just being up all night staring to make sure he wouldn't leave. And then I would like sleep during the day.
Aww.
And I still have this weird thing with nighttime now. Like, I'm up all night.
Me too. Until like 3 or 4.
Yeah. And then I fall asleep like during the day. It's so weird. My husband's total opposite. But yeah, so I think that's like kind of how it started, was my feet. And then, you know, my mom struggling with the borderline, and my parents got divorced really, really young, and then my dad just raised us by himself.
Where'd mom go?
Well, she freaked out in front of the judge.
Oh.
Because normally a mother would get custody.
Right.
And so they were in custody court, and my mom, you know, people with borderline, they can only mask it so much.
Right.
And I think the judge said something she did not like, and then boom, there went the trigger, and the judge saw it.
Wow.
And it was right about when my parents were going to get 50-50, and then the judge saw that and was like, nope, now you don't get any custody.
Wow.
And you can only have visitation with your kids. With my aunt and my grandma were supposed to be there.
Wow.
So they really gave it to her. And I also feel really bad for my mom, because my mom was a nurse. Mm. And so, you know, nurses, like, they don't think that they need help because they're a nurse. You know what I mean? So it's like,
I feel like that generation too.
Yeah, too. They just don't want to take anything for it. And, you know, my mom, I have to say now, she takes something and she's doing great.
Yay.
And it's
shout
like,
mom.
It's like, crazy. Like, if this could have been her when I was younger, it would have been amazing. You know what I mean? Mm. But back then, they kind of were just anti that stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so she really, like, you went through it. I mean, she was just tormented by her own brain, and it was really hard. So I didn't really see her much. And my dad worked a lot, and so it was like by myself a lot, and really bad depression. And then there was cutting, and I didn't have a lot of friends. I just had my one friend that I'm still friends with. And
when did you start cutting?
Well, I wanted to, like, die, so I was, like, not strong enough to, like, kill myself. So I would just, like, try, and then, like, I couldn't, like, kill myself. So it was, like, really sad. And then
Did that start? Like, how old?
Like, I was probably 14, 15, yeah.
That's when all, like, your hormones are kicking in.
Yeah, and I just remember just feeling, like, I've always just felt really uncomfortable in life. I always felt like I don't belong. Mm. And I would, like, go to school, and, like, I would make people laugh, and, like, then I'd come home and just be like, I'm so sad. And it was just weird.
They
like
say
weird,
the funniest people are the saddest sometimes.
Yeah, like, yeah. I would entertain everybody, and then I'd be like, okay, well, the job's done. And, like, you know, it was, like, so sad, because, like, I never wanted anyone else to ever feel sad. So I would go in and just make everybody, I'd be like the clown, you know. I got voted, like, class clown out of the girls and the guys. And then I would go home and just be so depressed and feel so empty, you know. So it was just really hard. And, you know,
did cutting make you feel like a sense of relief?
Well, you get like endorphins. Right. You do get like a surge of endorphins, you know. So I would get a little bit of that. But also I was just like hoping that one day I could fully do it. You know what I mean? But then I also felt so bad for my dad, because I was like, my dad was trying so hard. He was working so much to support my brother and I. And so it was really sad. So I will say the medicine did help me. But the thing that was the best for me was just getting the fuck out of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Getting away from
Pennsylvania is kind of dreary. Anytime we've gone there on tour, it's always like just melancholy.
It's depressing. Yeah. Like, as soon as I moved to California when I was 17, as soon as I graduated, I moved right to California.
You're like, fuck this, I'm leaving.
Bye-bye. And I just...
Was dad okay with that?
Yes. And the whole reason it happened was because my stepmom grew up in California, and, like, we went and visited here on a trip. And I was just like, I just feel so much better here. And
right,
I feel so good.
The sun,
yeah, and, like, being away from all the drama. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I was in theater, and I was, like, loving theater and loving acting, and I knew I wanted to do something in entertainment. And so I was like, I'm going to go try. You know what I mean? So I just came by myself at 17, and then, like, just worked a bunch of fucking odd jobs and did stand up and open mics and, like, oh God, it's just like such a journey.
So let's talk about it. So your first night in LA, you came here by yourself.
Yes.
What is 17-year-old Brittany doing?
Well, so my dad was like, you have to go to college because you can't just go out there with nothing. So I enlisted in the easiest college I could find, which was fashion school.
Oh, nice.
Literally. I was like, what's the most dumb shit? Like, you know what I mean? Like, our quizzes were like, what outfits are cute? You know what I mean? I was like, this one, not that one.
Right. You know, like, there's like, not a wrong answer.
Yeah. Like, it's like not even. They're like, what colors? They're on the color wheel. Like, it was just so stupid. Right. It was the dumbest shit. I'm like, I can't believe we're paying for this. But but I loved it, you know, and I met some good friends there. So I was in fashion school, and that was in downtown LA in 2006.
Yeah. So that there was like prime time.
Dude,
LA.
There was nothing there though. Downtown, there was nothing. It was like fucking homeless people and businessmen during the day.
Right.
There was no LA Live yet. There was nothing.
Wow.
So I used to have to like walk through all this craziness to get to school. I lived on 7th and Bixel.
Wow.
And it was just insane. And I thought like, wow, this isn't Hollywood. I was like, this place sucks, you know, because I lived in downtown right. LA. I'm like, where the fuck's all the cool shit, you know?
Yeah.
So I eventually end up moving into a house in the Hollywood Hills yeah. with my friends. And then that's when it kind of the whole thing mm-hmm. begins. And I start doing open mic comedy. And
I feel like
stand up and
2006 in LA and Vegas was like chaos. Peak times.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like peak times of just, it was kind of like, I don't want to say innocent, but it yeah. was like, it was. And like, we had so much fucking fun.
Yeah. Well, you did.
Yeah. I did.
I did not have fun.
Damn
I struggle cityed.
Oh,
dude, I was, I mean, it was like, it wasn't, I was happy to be out here.
Right.
Way better than yeah. being in Pennsylvania, but I was struggling.
No way, like financially or just
oh,
like
yeah,
spiritually?
All of it. I mean, I had to pay, my rent was, I lived in a 3-bedroom house that was gorgeous. And 2006, my rent, my quarter of the rent was $750 a month.
Jeez.
So I had to come up with $750. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's nothing these days.
Right. Yeah.
We look at that now and we're like,
but
whoa.
No, back then
like, it was
a
lot.
And
so I was super skinny. I was like maybe like 105 pounds. And so I got picked up to be a fit model from my school to the fashion district mm-hmm. downtown. So I would have all these like fashion companies that were owned by like all these Asian people, and they would stand around me and speak another language, and they would try clothes on me all day, and they'd be like, oh, no, and like then trying outfits on me because they would make the pattern and everything, and they
yeah.
like to use live models,
right?
And so this job was great. I got paid like $200 an hour.
Wow.
And you'd be there for like 4 hours, like every
just
couple times a week, right?
Getting fitted.
It was great.
Yeah.
And I would stand there, but the one rule was that you couldn't gain weight.
Oh my gosh.
Because so I would see girls come in and they measured us every day. They would measure us and make sure like, uh-oh. And then one of the girls would get fat and then they would like whisper to each other and they'd be like,
oh.
And she'd be like, what? What do you mean? Like, oh. Like, get the fuck out, Cassandra, you fat ass. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she like
Asians
got
us. Are so cutthroat.
Dude,
they don't give
gnarly.
A shit. Yeah.
When a girl would get called into the office, we were all like, fuck.
Oh,
like, damn,
no.
Right? So I would just see girls coming and going all the time.
Yeah.
But I would like make them laugh. So I think they liked me.
Right.
Yeah. I lasted 2 years there.
Wow.
Which is crazy because I saw a million girls get come and go. And then finally
how
they got rid
not,
of me.
How are you not gaining weight? Were you,
well,
did you develop an eating
no,
disorder?
No, I was
anything,
on Adderall.
Just, oh, gosh.
Like my roommate was on Adderall
yeah.
and she was like, dude, you're really ADHD. You should go see the doctor and get on Adderall.
This
I
is
was,
back then when they were to prescribe
anything
for anyone
right?
at
and,
any time.
And then I went and my psychiatrist at the time, because I was on such a high dose of the Effexor at that point,
mm-hmm.
Because it would make me really tired, but aww. I was still very ADHD. And he's like, you know what, Adderall would be great with this, and he gave
God,
it to me.
Mixing
it
too?
Actually was great,
yeah.
And I did great, and I only like you know I did actually really well on it. And for someone
wow.
who has anxiety, I didn't really have anxiety on it, and I did really well on the Adderall Effexor combo.
Yeah,
and then one day in 2015. Or no, I'm sorry, 2013, I got a really bad flu, and I stopped taking the Adderall, you know, because I was sick. I was like, what am I going to take Adderall for?
Yeah.
I'm like sick. And then my body just felt so tired, and I was like, oh, this is speed. And I was like, I don't want it anymore.
Yeah.
And I kicked it, and I didn't want it
good.
Anymore. And my doctors even now have tried to give it to me because I'm tired all the time.
Really?
And I was like, guys, I can't. I'm too anxious, so I can't, like, take anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can barely drink a little bit of caffeine.
Oh, I have coffee? I'll fucking
oh,
be rocking back and forth.
I can
I can't
never
do
have
it.
A coffee. My mm-hmm. heart pounds out of my chest.
Same.
But I try to drink the strawberry refreshers from Starbucks.
Oh, those will crack you out,
but
too.
But they only have 45 milligrams of caffeine.
Yeah.
And so I ask them to make it with extra water.
Yeah.
And I'll have a little bit of that, and that'll make okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did really well on the like high dose of Effexor, low dose Adderall
yeah.
for years. But it for me, I was already thin. And then Adderall on top of that,
just
you just
tiny.
Don't eat. And then I became obsessed with my weight because of the fit. Stuff and so I was very skinny. Yeah, it was
poor
really
baby.
Bad. But yeah, no, I mean, I was surviving. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, I wouldn't say it was a bad time. I would just
right.
say it was like a more like me
learning.
Hustling. Like,
yeah.
what was I gonna do? You know, and I was trying to act and I was trying
yeah.
to do comedy, and so it was a crazy time. And then that's how I met Josh.
Josh
Adam
Meyer.
So
I told
Josh.
Them about that the other day. They were
we
like,
love Josh. Josh is my ex-boyfriend, which is so funny.
Yeah, it's just crazy how worlds collide.
It's weird, man.
Yeah, he's a sweetie
he's
pie.
He's a sweetheart.
Such a sweetie pie.
He So he and I met through stand-up, and we dated when we were both really young. I mean, I was probably like 21, maybe.
How did you get into stand-up? You just one day was like, you know what? I'm a funny motherfucker. I'm going to go stand in front of a crowd. Because that's a tough thing to get into.
Yeah.
Especially for somebody who deals with anxiety way you do.
But I was like, at that time, I don't know why. It's like I was so driven. Mm-hmm. And I was, again, on a higher dose of my medication, so I wasn't as scared. Mm-hmm. And so I would go do the open, they have open mics at the Comedy Store, you can sign up, and the Improv, you can sign up, you know, at like 6 o'clock, you do get like 5 minutes, right? Yeah. And so I would do the open mics at the Comedy Store, and I remember Tommy, who used to work there as the manager, he doesn't work there anymore, you know, I never had material, so I would just go up there and riff with the audience, the little audience that was there.
Right.
And I always had so much fun and was so good at it, and Tommy, who worked there, was like, you got to stay with this. You're so good at this. Aww. You know, and he doesn't work there anymore. But then I was doing a open mic at this place called, God, what was it called? It was on Melrose. I forget the fucking name of it. It was this bar. Mm-hmm. And a casting director from E! Was watching the open mics. And she was like, you're so funny. I want you to come audition for this show on E! And I was like, this is how it happens, baby. I call my parents. I'm like, I don't even know you anymore. Like, I'm famous. And like, you know, like, and so I end up auditioning for this show. It was called Reality Hell on E! And it was basically from the creators of Punk'd, where they were doing like a prank show where you would prank people and make them think they were on a reality show, but they weren't, right? And so I did a couple seasons of that show. And then I ended up doing Prank My Mom on TLC. And so I was doing all these like prank shows. And I was dating Josh. And Josh would like show everybody. He'd be like, look how cool my girlfriend. She's on TV. It was so funny. Josh. But then I stopped doing stand-up because like I was, you know, doing the show. I'm like, I already made it. This is what all the stand-ups want to do. You know what I mean? And then those shows went nowhere, right?
Right.
And then I met Josh and I ended up breaking up. And I met my boyfriend, Randall, who's was a music video director. Mm-hmm. And I was in a music video. And then he bought me my first iPhone, and then Vine came out, and then...
Vine was crazy for you. I remember you on Vine. Crazy, I never did the Vine thing, but I had an account and would watch them. I was like one of those weirdos. And I loved you on Vine. You had like 9 million followers on Vine? 10? It was crazy.
Wild. And like it was weird because when I got on there, it was like all these people that I looked up to, like James Urbaniak and... Goldberg and Simon Rex and you know, all these people had all these
D-Nasty or what is Simon Rex?
Dirt Nasty. Will Sasso, like all these like comedians had really big followings on there, and then I started surpassing them, and I was like, this is crazy. And that's then it wild. Started turning into, you know, brands calling me and being like, hey, it's Benefit Cosmetics calling, can we pay you $10,000 to do a video? And I was like,
yeah,
I did this video for like free lip gloss, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm so glad they offered it first, because if they would be like, can we give you like one blush, I'd be like, yes, one blush is fine, you know, like, so I ended up then ended up that taking off. I started getting all these brand deals, and then when talent agencies see you're making money, that's when they come. They're like little sharks. It's like chum in the water.
I'm signed with WME right now.
Oh yeah, so I'm with WME.
I didn't know that. WME sisters,
I love that. So ICM, CAA, and UTA all emailed me in the same week.
Love that.
And wanted to take a meeting. And I had my first meeting with ICM. And, you know, places don't usually do this. But when I was going to leave, they were like, we really want you to be with us. Like, sign this paper and blah, blah, blah. And I had a really, like, shitty manager at the time. Mm-hmm. And she was like, yeah, you should just do it. Instead of taking the other two meetings. And so I ended up signing with ICM. They did absolutely nothing for me. Aww. They didn't help me at all. They just collected money. So it was just like a nightmare. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's a learning.
You live and you learn. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I feel like the talent agent industry is like very different now. They kind of just want to... you to do all the work, you to get the followers, you to make the money.
We talk about this all the time. I love you, Sloan, but yes, we agree.
Yeah, no, everybody, like, I mean, they do. They literally, I mean, my husband has these friends that are like incredible musicians. Like, their band, their music is unfucking real.
Yeah.
But then they try to get signed, and the first thing these agencies say are, how many followers do you have?
Yeah.
And they're just indie guys. They don't care about Instagram.
Which you can blow up nowadays. Social media
if you get on a TikTok or something.
Literally.
But you got to get something. Yeah, you know? And these guys are not into that. And so it's like they end up suffering and not making it. And it's like, you know, so I've just had like bad experiences. You know, I went from one to the one to the one, and I'm just like, this just like nobody wanted to do anything. Everyone wanted to just collect.
Kind of mooch, yeah. So you just, also during this time, I'm gonna look at my notes really quick if you
I'm
see me.
I'm dead.
Looking
you took
down.
Notes. I love
oh,
you.
Yeah.
Holy
I got notes,
shit.
Baby.
I feel so bad I had you on ours and I'm all just like, hello. Like
no, you're good. During this time you got an award, right? Or something.
Yeah.
Hold on. You were in a Pitbull video.
Oh, yeah. He's the best. He still follows me. I love
him.
Oh,
I love that. Yeah, you are the most followed woman on Vine.
Yeah.
And your influence was so big at the time that Time Magazine in 2015 listed you as the 30 most influential people on the internet.
Yeah, with Kim Kardashian and Barack Obama.
That's fucking huge.
Dude, I cut that shit out.
I was
going
to say, do
parents.
You have it framed
I did.
In
my
your
dad
house?
Has, I'll never forget it. The issue of Time, it was a TV on the front with a reflection in it.
Yeah.
They made it reflectable so you could see yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cool. And I bought like 30 copies and I sent it to my family. And I'm like, guess who's not a failure? Like, I'm not a failure.
Yeah, because you know somebody at home is waiting for you to
exactly.
fail.
Exactly. Everyone's yeah. waiting for me to fail.
Yeah.
They still are waiting. Keep waiting.
I think you've done pretty damn good with that, though.
I try. And then, yeah, so amazing stuff happened. I yeah. got really, you know, I say it's a blessing. Because, you know, God, I feel like, you know, not to get religious on your podcast.
No,
but
you can. I love
I have
Jesus.
A lot of faith.
Jesus is my
I
homie.
Have a lot of faith. And mm-hmm. I think that God, I pray all the time. And
yeah,
I think God
prayer,
has really come through for me
prayer
many
is,
times.
To me, prayer is a form of manifesting.
Absolutely.
Like you're literally, 100%. You're asking the universe and you're asking God, like, hey, this is what I need. Your words are spells. So as soon as you put them in the universe, it gets grabbed,
that
you know?
Part.
So I love, you can get religious as you want on my podcast.
Yeah,
I love
absolutely.
It.
And you're so praying. Right about that. Mm-hmm. You know, I pray to God every night. I pray before I eat. And I just, you know, I feel like God has really come through for me. And I know a lot of people are like, some people don't believe in it, whatever, but it's like, it's such a personal experience
yeah.
and I really feel something. Mm-hmm. So
you're so wholesome.
Oh,
you
thanks.
Really are. Like, I would never picture you to be as wholesome as you are.
Yeah,
like, you're just really such a sweetie pie.
Thanks. I mean, I'm a goofball when I'm, you know, performing or online, but I have, like, a very, like, real serious side, too. And
do you feel like there's two different Britneys?
Oh,
like,
for
one
sure.
One that you present to the world and then one at home?
100%. And you probably relate to this, too. Is
oh,
like
absolutely.
A lot of people with autism, or I don't want to say I have autism,
yeah.
but I do say that I
have autistic traits.
I mask where, like, I perform.
Right.
And then I come home and I'm like, okay, and I take it off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's almost like taking off a heavy coat.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, now I can be me again. You know what I mean? And there's just so many other little weird things I do I won't get into, but
well,
yeah.
you took the test.
I did. I got a 138.
So the next step is,
yeah.
is we have to get diagnosed.
I know. It's so to go get diagnosed. So I looked into it because my brother's son is autistic.
Right.
Excuse me, my brother has some things he's struggling with, and then he was going to get the official test for it as well. And then they were like, it's $2,500. And then I was like, okay, and then what do they do
yeah.
as an adult? Because with children, when my nephew got, you know, he got diagnosed, now the government actually will send people to your house to help you work with your autistic child, which
wow.
is really nice. There's a lot of government programs,
that's
believe
amazing.
It or not, that will, so a couple times a week, they send someone over to my my brother's house and they teach them how to work with my nephew so that he doesn't get overstimulated. They
Aww.
Learn his triggers. They learn, you know, all
they
kinds
say
of things.
Autism is hereditary now,
yeah.
is what they're saying. So
yeah.
I definitely think
yeah.
my mom had some things going on because she was super OCD like I am
yeah.
and like, you know. So I would
well,
love
there's
to.
So many different versions, and I don't really think anyone's normal. You know,
right,
like we
yeah.
all have our own things and quirks, and you know, I think that there's really high functioning autism,
yes,
and with mixed
yes.
with ADD and
mm-hmm.
all kinds of other things that's harder to diagnose and things like that. You
mm-hmm.
know, I don't think anyone can particularly put people in like a box.
Right,
you know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
So
there's not one size fits all.
Yeah, like
I
feel like we all have a little bit of, you know, and it all kind of intertwines.
Yeah.
You know, so.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
But yeah, so then I did the Vine thing, and then I was, you know, I dated a really horrible guy who cheated on me with prostitutes, and then I went
Fuck
through
him.
That breakup. Yeah. And then I met my husband on Raya
in 2017.
Yeah. So it's been 7 years.
Aww. So yeah. What is Raya? Because my doctor reached out to me the other day and she's like, hey, I need you as a reference for
your
Raya.
Your doctor?
And I was like, reference? I was like, what is Raya? And she was like, gosh, don't worry about it. Just can I use you as a reference? And I was like, sure, I don't care. What is it?
So it's like basically like when they first started it, it was like, it's like a celebrity dating app.
Okay.
Well, it's not like that, I don't feel like, anymore. I mean, there's a lot of famous people on there still. Like, I know Drew Barrymore's on there. A bunch of people are on there playing with
Drew
it.
Drew Barrymore's on
I'm
Raya?
Sure.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
She said she was on something like that. And then, yeah, so when I got on, I had no idea. So basically because I had a big following, the creators reached out to me and said, hey, we want to, you know, give you an account. They weren't charging for it at the time. You just had to be
need to put Haley on Raya.
You had to be approved. You have to be approved. Yeah. So it's like kind of a gnarly thing. So they were like, we just want to put you on there. It's a dating app. We know you're single and like we think you'd be great.
Who's doing the approving?
The guys who run the app.
God, that's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's the guys who create. At first, I think it may have been the guys who created it.
And now they have a team.
And now they probably have a team.
Wow.
But,
wild.
So they put me on there, and I remember the first time I opened it, I'm scrolling, and it's like Joshua Jackson, Elijah Wood, John Mayer. Like,
what
and I can
hell?
Say all this now because I'm never going back on the app.
Yeah.
You're usually not allowed to talk about it, or they'll take your account away.
Well, I'm going on Raya.
Yeah,
no, I'm just kidding. Jay will be like, what
people
are you doing?
People go on there for like just friends. We're like, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Tell us how your relationship's not working out. It's so crazy. So I got on there, all these famous people. I went out with a bunch of them. Maybe like
you got
two
any
or
horror
three,
stories?
Actually. Not really, actually. Everyone was really nice.
Damn it, I'm tired of these
I
nice
know.
Guys.
I know, actually, you know, I don't have any with, like, famous people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, most
they
of
mind
them
their
were
P's
pretty.
And Q's.
Yeah, like, they're really sweet. Like, I did go on a date with Elijah Wood, and he was just, like, so
sweet.
Is he
tall?
No, he's very small.
Yeah.
And I wasn't, like, attracted to him, but I really liked his personality,
yeah.
And he was, like, so nice, and he has this really cool house that has, like, a big movie theater and, like, in the, like, living area, and he was just like so nice and so cool, but not like romantic vibes,
right?
You know,
like homie,
huh?
Like a homie.
Yeah, he was just really cool guy,
yeah.
And I think he's like, I think he has a wife now and a kid, and you know, whatever. I've run into him since then. He's just a really sweet person.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I mean, everyone that I went out with was pretty cool. I didn't like click with anyone because I am so particular. Mm. You know what I mean? People are always like, "Oh, you're just with Tommy for his money." I went out with so many other people that I could have been with for
right.
for their money if that was the case. But I was making so much money on Vine; people have no idea.
No,
I have
you
money.
Were like one of the first people to monetize that
yeah,
platform, right? Or to even monetize social media.
Exactly. Like I'm like that. I did not need, and I still don't need. You know, I still always, you know, I do my jewelry and I do my own thing still because
the necklace you have
thanks.
On is from your jewelry
I made my
line.
Necklaces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it? Love.
It's called Lovely.
Lovely.
Jewelry. And it's just kind of something fun to like do with my hands and not be on my phone.
Yeah.
So I love that.
I want to start crocheting. So that
yeah,
I do that.
It's amazing.
I swear to God.
It looks hard.
I'll let you know how it goes.
Okay, let me know how it goes, Dad.
I will.
You're like,
for sure.
I did one stitch and I hated it.
I do. I want to crochet. I forgot to tell you. I've dived into this. I'm gonna try to do this in March when I take every March off. I'm gonna try to learn how to crochet during
Fuck
March.
Yeah, you just turn into a full on grandma. Next time I do your podcast, you're just covered in like a fucking.
I'm
like
gonna make
this.
You a blanket, bitch.
You're just knitting during the whole podcast. Uh-huh. Yep. Rocking in your chair with a cat in your
with
lap.
With my bifocals on. Literally.
And a Bible. Yeah. Just like full on. I'm like, wow, Bunny's taking a turn. Well, one extreme to the other.
Yes,
so no, I do the jewelry and I always try to make my own money. I actually don't like to spend any of my husband's money because
in the same way.
Because my grandma told me this quote when I was younger, and she said, if you give them the power to feed you, you give them the power to starve you.
Yeah.
And that shit hit me like a ton of bricks. Mm-hmm. I was like, ah! You know what I mean? Like, I gotta always have my own shit, you know? Mm-hmm. Plus, like, I have a fear of abandonment all the time. Yeah. So I'm always like, I gotta make sure I'm okay.
You're always afraid the carpet's gonna get yanked out from underneath you.
Always.
No, I'm the same way. We were checking into the hotel here, and they're like, well, Miss DeFord, I just wanna let you know your card is on file and it has your name on it. Are you okay with that? And I go, yeah, I run my own ship. Yeah. I said, I don't ask my husband for anything.
Exactly.
You know, I just thought it was crazy that they would ask me that. Like, how many wives do they have? Are like, no, put my husband's card on file. Yeah, all that was crazy.
No shame in that. At all. Absolutely. Yeah. Like,
I wish I could be that person. So, like,
easygoing.
Free.
Yeah. And my husband's very nice. I mean, he gives me a card and he, you know, I don't ever have to.
Yeah.
I'm not for want, but, you know, it's my own personal thing that I'm like, no, I want to make my own.
Because
then
he probably
like,
loves that about you too. Because men test women too.
Yeah, he does love that about me.
Yeah.
Especially because this is the weird thing. Like, when it's their birthday or Christmas, like,
you're going to go buy something with
their own money? Yeah. Like, I'm like, what? Like, no. Yeah. Like, that's so weird. That would make me so sad. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, no, here, you bought this for yourself. Happy birthday. You know what I mean? Like, it's
here's my pussy. It's all I got to offer.
Exactly.
No, I'm not talking shit about women.
No,
either,
I mean,
you know?
Like, if that's your bag, that's your bag. It's fine. Totally, it's fine. It's just not, I'm not comfortable with it. So, no, I get it. So I just, I've kind of just done my own thing and, you know.
So 2017.
You're swiping on Raya. We match, and it's so funny because he is just so funny. Tommy's just like a very, like, just no, like, you know how guys try to be cool and like not text you?
Right.
As soon as we match, he's like, hi! And it's like 30 messages, and he's like, what's up? How are you? Like, want to hang out? Listen to this new song. Check it out. Did you listen to it yet? Like, it was so funny. It was like, like, and like, normally girls would be like, that's a red flag. But for me, I'm like, oh, like, he's so fun. And I was so
like, he's a puppy. He's a little puppy.
And he was just so nice. And I was so tired of people that played games or guys that would like, you'd
like, if
respond.
You
want
to talk to me, talk to me.
Like, you text them back and then they wait 3 days to respond.
It's so
and you're
weird.
Like, but then they like are still engaging and they're trying to be cool. And I'm just like, whatever. Bro. So he was not like that.
Yeah, guys, don't do that. That shit's not
cool. Don't do it. The girls like
it's
guys.
It's cool to care.
Yeah, it's cool to care. Literally. That's a good saying. Yeah. It is cool to care. So he cared and he was very persistent and he invited me to Pride, which is so fitting. And we met up at Pride and we just fucking held hands and like never let go. And we started hanging out every single day. And, you know, I've told the story before. He was like dating Carmen Electra and then we got together and he just boom, just dropped everybody.
You guys were searching for each other.
Yeah.
You guys really needed each other. I feel like that's how Jay and I were.
Yeah.
Like when you meet that person, you just know.
Yeah.
And it's like there's no questions asked. No words have to be spoken. It's like you literally link up and you never leave each other.
It's like comfortable.
Yeah. Safe.
And I don't feel comfortable with like a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So the fact that like when I first hung out with him, I felt instantly very cozy. I was like, this is a weird thing. Like I'm not used to this, you know.
Yeah.
I'm so used to being so worried and I was just so comfortable and we just hit it off right away. I think I moved in after like 3 weeks.
No.
And we got engaged after 6 months and then
Jay and I got married a month after hanging out with each other.
Amazing.
1 month. And everybody's like, you guys are not gonna make it. And here we are 8 years later.
Same, seven.
Yeah.
So we were a year after you. Yeah. You were 2016. It's so wild, dude, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I love that for you though.
I mean,
you guys found each other's safe space.
I'm so happy. Like I really am. Like it's just so nice to not be in that world anymore because LA is like bleak for dating, man.
We were just talking about this at dinner last night. I feel bad for anybody who has to date in this fucking environment.
God bless.
So the girl we went to dinner with last night, should I tell her story? Yeah. Said that she went on a date with some guy. He's like, hey, I'm making steaks, come on over. And then she goes over there. She's like, all right, cool. I didn't really want to go anyways, but I went because I was like, you know, whatever, steak.
Yeah.
And he opens the door and is like, hey, where's your steak? And she's like, you told me you were cooking steaks. And he's like, all right, well, I have one. So, you know, come on in. So he cooks the steak. He's like, hey, you want a bite? And when it's done cooking and gives her one bite and then throws the fork away and proceeds to eat the steak right in front of her. I was like, if that is what dating is like, I don't fucking want it, dude.
He said, I'm cooking steaks and then asked her where her steak was. Yes. Fucking BYOB steak hangout. Like, what the fuck?
BYOS.
BYOS, bring your own steak. Well, sorry, you can have a little nibble of mine.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
No, for sure.
Wow,
I couldn't imagine.
Fucked. Yeah, Brittany, we do the podcast. This is the worst. Brittany Schmidt, comedian. She's
we're gonna talk about
so
your
funny,
too.
And she's single. And the stories
Oh.
Ugh.
And she likes NBA players.
Oh my gosh. She likes
a glutton for punishment right there.
But she's tough. As a girl, like, she can take some shit, but I'm like, dude, she's got like some crazy shit that is, goes on. And I'm just like, oh my God, I can't. Like, no. I couldn't handle it.
No, I wouldn't want to do it. I always say, if Jay and I don't make it, I'm literally gonna be like Cher. I'll be 76 years old dating fucking little 25, 26 year olds. Yeah. Just so there's no like emotional commitment, like, you, everybody knows
they
what
love
it is.
Older women too, yeah. Like, not that we're older, but I mean, yeah, older than them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they young
well,
guys,
they've got
like,
mommy issues, so.
Yeah, like, I meet young guys, I'll be at the grocery store, and young guys are always like, hi, and I'm like, get away from me, child, like, what are you doing? Yeah. Why are you staring at me like that? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Looking funny at you like you're a steak.
Yeah. I'm like, chill, bro. Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
So let's circle back to you and Tommy, you know, just hooking up, getting together. Mm-hmm. The media attention that you guys got. What was that like in the beginning for you? Like, you're, I feel like, and we talked about this a little bit off camera, is like, the internet is just so cruel.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't want to say having to live in a shadow of his former relationship, but mm-hmm. pretty much like the internet will not let him move on and live happily ever after with you.
Never.
How do you feel about that? How do you deal with that? Like, where do we start with that?
I mean, it's so heartbreaking because it's like, I've been with my husband, I think, longer than any of the relationships except for Heather. I think he was with Heather for 8 years.
You're friends with Heather too,
I
right?
I love her. That's She's amazing. So sweet. I mean, and that's the thing is, like, if people are nice to me, I am nice to them. Mm-hmm. If they are not nice to me, I am not nice to them. And, like, you know, you see a lot of what's on the media, but you don't know what's happened in real life.
Right.
And so people make their judgments like, oh, this person's so sweet and this person's this and this person's that. And I'm like, people don't realize what is really happening. You know, they are fed what media wants to feed them.
Yeah, it's a machine.
You don't know these people personally. You don't know the way they've treated people and things like that. And it's not what people think. It's very different.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot I can say and there's a lot I can't say, obviously, because there's kids and Tommy's relationship with his kids. But
do you get along with the boys?
I do. I like the boys. Yeah. I mean, and Tommy had a crazy drinking problem, and I had never been around someone that had a crazy drinking problem.
When you guys first got together,
was still drinking. Yeah, so I didn't know, like, how bad this was. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, we would be together and he'd be drinking all day, but he was still kind of like, he was pretty regular, you know what I mean? Because he was such an alcoholic, he could drink like a whole liter of Tito's and be talking to you.
Oh my goodness,
it's pretty scary. Yeah. But like, for me, like, I'd never been
around. How's his liver?
He's great now.
Oh good.
Yeah, now he's great. Then not so much. So, you know, he was doing that, and, you know, it caused a lot of contention because the kids were living with us at the time, and you know, he didn't want to go out in the living room because they were there with their friends, and so he'd be like, babe, can you go get me a drink? And I'm so a sober person. I haven't had a drink in like 10 years. Like, I don't like it. And he would want me to drink with him, but I'd already been sober pretty much before that. And so I wasn't into drinking. I wouldn't drink with him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I would go to the kitchen and I would fill his glass with mostly water. And then I'd pour like a little bit of vodka in because I was like, man, he's already had like way too many drinks. So I would just put mostly water, but just enough so he could, you know, taste it. And then when he would go to bed at night, I would dump half the vodka out and I'd fill the bottle with water and I'd like shake it so that hopefully it wouldn't freeze, because vodka doesn't freeze.
Right.
So I had to make sure, like, and then he would get mad sometimes because it would be frozen and he'd be like, you put water in it again. You know what I mean? But the boys didn't know I was doing all this. So they would like see me going to the kitchen and they'd be like, think
like
I'm making
him
drinks and enabling him. And so then they started to hate me. And, you know, then that was when that whole thing happened with Brandon, like the intervention, the punching, all this stuff. It was horrible. And then I talked to Tommy's manager. He has a manager that really loves him. And I told him, I was like, we got to get this guy sober. Like, this is crazy, you know, like he's killing himself. And so we convinced Tommy somehow to go to rehab. And yeah, and the day of, he didn't want to go. And then Nikki Six came over and helped me put his ass in the car and took him over to rehab. And he was there for 45 days and he did really great. And since then, he's been doing really great. He's fallen off the wagon like twice, but it was like really short stints,
which
you know.
Is expected, you know.
Yeah,
he's not
perfect. I mean, he was a massive alcoholic, and to go from that much of an alcoholic to nothing. That, you know, it was a lot. It was a lot. And then, you know, you have to, when you become sober, living with all those feelings and all these things that he hasn't felt in so long. And, you know, it took him a while, but now I feel like he's finally like really found his zen. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't even really talk about drinking. He'll like make a joke here and there, but it's like, and that's what I think is so fucked, is like people will be like, oh, he's all coked out or whatever. Like, no, Tommy is sober. Tommy does not use drugs. Like, stop fucking spreading shit about
people.
He
fucking clips bonsai
trees. He's hyper, he's ADHD. He's a 17-year-old man, 56, you know, 61-year-old man. He's a child. He's like a very young personality because he got famous at 17, and so he's kind of always stayed like very childlike, you know. And that's what's sweet about him is that he's like a little like kid, you know, a big kid. But so I mean, it's like I'm just so proud of him, because now he's really found his peace.
Proud of you both.
I mean, we're doing it's just so nice, and we're just trying to live our life and not be pulled into, you know,
the bullshit,
man. Like, it's just crazy.
Yeah, I saw what you were having to go through when the Pam and Tommy documentary the show.
Oh, the Who and the Hulu thing came out. Well, that's like funny, because like, so I started dating Tommy, and Seth Rogen follows me. And I remember him watching, he would watch my stories and I would post with Tommy. And then all of a sudden, like a couple months later, it's like Seth Rogen's producing a Pam and Tommy series, like completely out of nowhere.
Aww.
And I was like, God, I hope I didn't give him the idea. I'm pretty sure he DM'd me. I have to check, and was like, oh my God, is that Tommy Lee or something like that? Because he was shocked. But I have to check. But he follows me, and he was following me then, and like I would see him see it, you know, and I'm like, that's weird. And then he now is producing, would produce that show, and like that, you know, Tommy had nothing to do with that.
Right.
Neither of them did. And so, you know, people would say, oh, Tommy gave it his blessing, but not really. Only reason Tommy ended up in any way involved was because God, who's the guy who played him? Now I'm like having a fucking Sebastian Stan. So Sebastian is friends with Fred Durst.
Gotcha.
Because they did a movie together. Fred Durst, the director. And so Fred called Tommy and was like, Sebastian really wants to meet you. He totally understands if you don't want to meet him, you know, it's whatever, but he really wants to meet you. And so Tommy was like, okay, I'll meet him. Tommy's just so nice. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Tommy's just a nice guy. And so we went out to dinner with Sebastian, of course, got papped. And then everyone was like, Tommy's supporting it. And it was like, it wasn't even Tommy supporting it. It was literally Tommy just being nice to a guy who's friends with Fred. And like, Sebastian actually is such a nice guy, and it's not like, you know what I mean, an actor's just taking a job.
Yeah,
you know, you can't hate the actor. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Like, you're just like, they're trying to make money. So you know, people spun out about that, and we're like, oh well, why are you mad, not mad about this, but you're mad about that? And I'm like, nobody's like what are you talking about? We were friends with, we were just being nice to Sebastian.
It's crazy that they can come up with so many assumptions off one picture.
I'm so exhausted.
Can we address the TikTok that kind of caused so much
chaos? It was so stupid on my part.
It wasn't even a bad TikTok.
It was like a joke.
I could kind of understand where you were coming from, because you do get attacked so much online.
But it was like a joke. It wasn't even to be like that. It was more like, because what had happened is, as soon as that documentary came out, immediately, within hours, people were flooding my page going, you're interrupting true love, they need to be back together. Meanwhile, I've already been with my husband for 5 years, you know, longer than the whole relationship. And I'm like, this is just so insane. And I remember, like, you know, I don't have great mental health. And so part of me, whenever anything makes me uncomfortable, my first thought is like, let's make a joke.
Same. I laugh at the most inappropriate shit all the time.
And I don't think sometimes before I act. And I was just like, this is funny. And so I just did it, and even Tommy was like, it's funny, whatever. And then I posted it, and I was like, oh God, this is gonna get taken the wrong way. And of course it did. And then so I just took it down right away. It was more just like an intrusive thought, like acting on like an intrusive thought. And then somebody had already screenshotted it and sent it to the Daily Mail. I literally posted it for like 3 seconds, and then people spun it.
The internet is like that telephone game, you know, where it's like news for something, and then by the time it gets to like the fucking,
it's 20th, like a total person, different story.
It's like,
it's just so crazy. I was just like, you know what, I just need to shut the fuck up at this point. And I'm just like, I'm so like, now I'm just, you know, I'm just used to it now. It's like, I get constantly still get it.
I'm
probably gonna get it forever.
Have you ever reached out to Pam, or has she reached out to you to just kind of like be like just an olive branch?
No, I think it just,
because I mean, I feel like if I was Tommy's ex in this relationship, I would reach out to you and be like, hey girl, like, love you, I'm sorry.
I mean, when I first started dating Tommy, you know, and all this stuff happened with Brandon and Tommy's alcoholism, she blamed me in a public diary.
Oh.
And said, Brittany's the reason Tommy's drinking so much and that she's an alcoholic and he needs someone to behave bad with.
Gotcha.
This has since been removed from her like online open journal thing, but it was on there. And I remember being really hurt by that. Never got an apology for that. You know, even though I'm like, I don't even drink. What are we talking about? Like, this is crazy. And I think it's on like somewhere. And then of course, everyone is like, yeah, I could see Brittany. She's an alcoholic drug addict. And I'm like,
they're ridiculous.
I'm like scared of everything, like let alone fucking getting wasted. And so I was really hurt by that. And then also it was just like, you know, the texting Tommy here and there and being like, yeah, like, hey, like pictures of yourself, whatever. So it was just like annoying. And it was more just like, ugh, like this is not a good vibe. Whereas with Heather, like Heather would text both of us and be like, do you guys want to like come over? Do you want to hang out? Blah, blah, blah. Just like a totally different vibe. Yeah. And it was a very friendly, like welcoming vibe. And so, you know, I wish her the best. Yeah. I really do. I hope, because it's sad. Like I can't imagine like being so in love with someone still and like not being with them and them being with someone else, like that must really hurt. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, fuck the pain. Like that must really fucking hurt. And it's really sad probably. And like, you know, for her sake, she's beautiful. She's, you know, still looks great. And I hope she meets someone else and falls in love. I really do, because that the pain of wanting something, like, I love my husband. I'm not going anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, unless God forbid some freak accident happens, you know? But, like,
gonna happen.
I just, like, man, like, I almost, like, I was upset at first. And now I'm just, like, I'm more, like, I feel bad. And I'm, like, that must suck, you know, to, like, really care for someone so much still and not be with them, you know? So I have sympathy.
Absolutely.
You know, I try to put myself now in,
that's
like,
very mature though.
I try. So, I try to put myself in other people's shoes. Like, is it my favorite thing? No. But like it's like, you know, like I think like a lot of women who get it are people that have a baby mama that is still in love with their husband. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think they get it. But I think if you don't have that, you don't get it. You know what I mean? So
Jay has two baby mamas. One I can get along with amazingly. She's a great woman. And the other one is a fucking nightmare.
So there's just depends. Mm-hmm. Like it's just, you know, that's just life. You're going to get on, you know, some people and some people not. I mean, you know, and that doesn't mean that, you know, they're a bad person. It's just that, you know, it's not that it's not the vibe. And we've, you know, I've always been, you know, the thing is, same thing as you is like, I've always wanted to be friends with everybody because that's how I am. But it was like from the get-go, it was immediately like made very clear to me that that was not, you know, that was not the vibe. So I was like, okay, cool. You know, I didn't know my place. But also like, this is my husband. So that was the hardest thing too, is like going through all that and having people be like, it's none of your business. And I'm like, how is this none of my business? This is literally my husband that I've like worked really hard with to like get healthy. And like, we're like so happy and just want to be like, just be able to be happy and have everyone stop making shows and TV movies and Hallmark and fucking whatever else, you know what I mean? And have people come on my page and tell me that, like, you know, whatever, you know?
Do you feel like you're not allowed to ever have an opinion too whenever it comes to that?
Yeah, I can't say shit. Everything, I'm always the bad guy. I'm probably going to get hate for this. Like,
no, I think you're being very honest and I think you're being very open and I think that's fair.
Yeah, I mean,
you're allowed to have feelings and not have to push them down, and you haven't said anything that is, I think everything you've said is so like grown and mature. So.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. We're all hurting from something. We're all trying to live our lives and get along the best we can, and that's all we can do, you know what I mean? You know, I'm not perfect. I've definitely, you know, I already struggle with my mental health, and so I've said and done things where I'm like, God, Brittany, like, fucking think sometimes before you speak, you know? But what can you
nobody
do?
Gives us a handbook on life, we're supposed to react to certain things. And people don't realize, when you're not in the spotlight and you're not getting hundreds of thousands of shit thrown at you every fucking day, like, you'll never understand it. The people that are trolling literally have zero followers. And I don't mean that to insult anybody, but you don't know what it feels like to live in shoes of people who are online and have to, you know, who have opened ourselves up to that. So,
yeah. I think it's frustrating to like see stories made up about you.
Oh,
like that girl. One's like, that one blows my mind.
Yeah.
Like, really big gossip column online. And they wrote something like, when the documentary came out, like, oh, well, don't feel bad for Brittany because all she does is complain about her husband anyway. And I was like, what?
And
I wrote to the girl who runs the page because she published it. And the girl was like, oh, it's someone from your yoga class that sent this in. And I'm like, bitch, I don't do yoga.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even walk fast. Yeah. Like, let alone, I don't exercise. Like, I don't even fucking touch my toes. You know what I'm saying? Like,
she's like, I am not limber.
And I said to her, I said, I don't do yoga. I said, I don't even have a yoga class. I'd appreciate it if you took it down. And she didn't.
You can't.
They just want to have fake shit out there.
I've learned that lesson. I learned that lesson actually this month. It started last year when I started getting dragged on TikTok for having a podcast with people who come and tell their side of the story.
Yeah.
The only reason people hate me is because of this podcast. Literally.
Which is insane.
It's wild, right? And this year, somebody, I didn't learn my lesson last year. So the universe sent me the same lesson this year with another bitch who fucking tried to like paint this picture of me being this terrible human. When I reached out to her, like, hey girl, this is the truth, this is what's going on, if you do this, this is what's gonna happen, like, I just try to keep it real and keep it G with everybody. Twisted my words, twisted screenshots, posted them, made a video. Her and this other girl tried, didn't put everything in there though. Only put what fucking made their narrative look good. And I didn't respond. For once in my life, I was like, you know what,
God bless.
Don't give a fuck. Think what you want. People are gonna fucking make up whatever they want.
Yeah,
you know. And it's like, you can't reason with those people because your narrative doesn't make them money or get them attention.
Nope.
So they have to paint their own narrative.
It's so crazy, dude, how people spin shit. And I didn't even hear anything about that. So this bitch can't even be that popular.
Oh, no, she's not.
I never heard anything about it.
Yeah.
That was like when the whole thing happened with Trisha Paytas, who, like, I don't have anything against Trisha Paytas. I'm friends with Jason, who she was seeing at the time. Mm-hmm. And they dressed up as my husband and his ex for Halloween or a bunch of pictures or something, and then they tagged him and in every picture.
Yeah.
And my husband saw it, and he wasn't sober at the time, and he made like a rude comment.
Oh.
And then I never said anything to her, but she had also on Twitter been like, why is Brittany Furlan with Tommy Lee? That's so weird. And then when I responded to her, she was like, oh no girl, I totally stan it. And I was like, okay. Anyway, so then I actually wrote her a DM, and I think I still have them, where I said I was so sorry about that. You know, he's struggling with alcoholism, whatever. I sent her a message. I'm pretty sure I probably still have them, but I was so nice. And she was like, I'm making a YouTube video about it, and you're going like da 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 da. And like,
Trisha did?
Yeah. No matter how much I like was like nice, she was like, like da da da. And I was like, okay, like, cool. Well, I said my piece, and, you know, I apologize if we hurt you in any way, but it ended up becoming a huge thing. And I'm just like, everybody just,
yeah, it's just a thing for like, I'm not used to that. Like, if we're going to have a situation, let's fucking come to talk to each other like grown ass women, and let's move on from it. Like, I literally can't stand when everybody wants to go to the fucking internet.
No,
like there, you don't have to fucking post every, is your life that boring that you have to just take screenshots that I fucking wrote and fucking post them online of me literally explaining a situation to you?
I wish she would have posted what we wrote, but she didn't, of course. But anyway,
yeah, I was talking about my personal,
but like, honestly, like, I'm just like, bygones people grow, people change, you know. Like, I don't have any whatever. I
think Trisha, you know, since she had her baby and is married and actually found like real happiness in her safe space, I feel like I've seen a lot of growth from her. I don't know her.
She seems really happy.
Yeah.
So that's great.
And I think that makes a huge difference with how people treat other people.
Yeah.
If you aren't happy in your life at that moment, and I think her and Jason had like a really fucked up relationship.
Yeah, they did.
I don't know
the
details and I don't even care to get into it, but I think when you're going through that and you're just fucking hurting, you're just, your normal reaction is hurt people.
Yeah. So. And I know she struggles with her mental health. I mean, it was more on Jason, because Jason and I have known each other forever.
Yeah.
Like, you know, through comedy. And like, I was just kind of like, really, Jason? Like, really?
Yeah.
Like, I don't deal with this enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, it's just
sure.
exhausting. But then I also, like, it's a growing thing for me where I have to learn that I can't control it.
Yeah.
I just got to let people do what they're going to do. Yeah. You know, I can't be mad at everybody that wants to fucking, whatever. I just don't like when people pretend to be my friend.
Yeah.
And then they do that
That's
stuff.
Hurtful.
I'm just like, okay. Yeah, like, I'm fucking done, guys. Like, I don't know, like, what more you want to fucking do. Like,
yeah,
it's
beating
exhausting.
A dead horse.
Yeah.
Can we move on to Tommy's bonsais?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, my God. He loves bonsai trees. It saves his life.
Yeah.
He's just so zen. I mean, he's probably got, like, 200.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, dude, he's people are like, oh, Tommy's on cocaine. Like, every time I see a post of him, they're like, oh, look at, like, he's on drugs or whatever. I'm like, no, this dude is literally sitting there fucking, like, Mr. Miyagi just fucking clipping his little trees.
It,
like,
probably helps his ADD. Mm-hmm. Do you do it with him? I know I asked you this
Hell
earlier.
No. I am way too impatient. I mean, I do my jewelry.
Yeah.
Like, I'll go in my room and do my necklaces, and he'll be out there doing his bonsais. Or sometimes, like, I'll lay out and tan while he's bonsaiing.
Yeah.
And I will sometimes just, like, sit with him and talk to him while he does it. But, you know, he's just, like, a different guy, you know? He's no drama. He's just very peaceful. He just wants to do his trees. He just wants to have a happy life. He doesn't want to deal with anything. He doesn't want to deal with anyone. He just wants to be peaceful, you know? It's just us and our dogs, our little wiener dogs, and we are so in love with them. And we just have our happy little...
Your little safe space.
Safe vibe, happy vibe. We cook dinner together every night. We sit and have dinner together every night. And, you know, life is good, man. I'm so grateful, like...
I love it.
I really am, and I'm so grateful for his sobriety and his commitment to his sobriety and
his
health.
That's a different level of intimacy is when you get sober together.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was already not, you know, I was already on that path.
Right.
But having him also is amazing. And, you know, now he's going to try to quit smoking.
Wow.
You know, I mean, he's been
like cigarettes?
Yeah.
Or, okay,
he's
good.
Been smoking cigarettes his whole life.
Wow.
And he really doesn't want to anymore, you know? But it's
good.
Like, I think when you're
acupuncture. My dad got off smoking Marlboro Reds by getting acupuncture where they put a wire in your ear. And anytime he would get a craving, he would hit this pressure point and it would take the craving away.
Stop.
Yeah,
that
look
is
into that
amazing.
Maybe. Yeah, look into that for him.
So that's his next thing that he really wants to try to do. But, you know, he's like, I'm not going to, you know, rush it because it's like the one thing he has that keeps him kind of, you know, he has like that addiction personality. And so he's going to try, you know, and like, I would love that. Then he's going to like literally live forever.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
this
I mean,
man
he's
is
Tommy
so
Lee,
healthy.
He's going to be here forever.
Like, it's kind of crazy because people are like, oh, his organs must be so fucked up and all this shit. But we went and did those body scans, right?
Oh, with Doc Amen.
No. I did the brain scan with Doc Amen.
How
I
do you
did
feel
do
like
that
was? Is it a scam?
You know, I really like Dr. Amen. I don't really know the science behind it or what it sees, but it was almost like I sat with him and I kind of told him everything that I'd been through, and then he told me what I had. I think it would have been cooler if, like, I had the brain scan, didn't tell him anything, and then he told me, you know,
a little bit
the opposite.
I was going to do it, but then I read a bunch of reviews, and, you know, I'm not knocking it at all, I just...
Listen, I don't know. I think he's a nice guy, and I think he does care about helping people. I don't know enough about the technology, but I did think it was cool because it did show me my brain, but I wasn't sure exactly, you know, he explained, like, you know, these parts lit up meant trauma and that kind of thing, but I'd already told him, like, I had trauma, so I was kind of not sure if it was...
It's kind of like a psychic when you go to a psychic and tell a psychic
everything.
Yeah,
and then
they're like,
you.
Oh, who's Mike? And you're like, I just told you about him.
Dude, I gave you his last name, too. You can't even remember it. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know, but I do think he does really care about people, and I do think that, you know, he tries to help people, and so I always, like, love that. So, I don't know, but then we did do... full body scan and mine is like a mess, and I have a cyst in the middle of my brain. I have polycystic, I have PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome. So do you have PCOS too, Haley?
Oh,
guys, you both do. Do you take metformin or nothing? Yeah, me neither. Metformin made me so sick. Made me so sick, and so I just barely eat.
Have you ever had your hormones checked?
Oh yeah.
And
so I have technically don't really show PCOS on my hormones, but then when they did my MRI, they saw it everywhere. Yeah, so they did it. My ovaries both are full of cysts, and you know, I've thought about getting a hysterectomy, but then that comes with its own menopause. And so I already have such anxiety that I was like, fuck. And then you can get a partial and it's like kind of complicated, but
yeah,
I have a bleeding disorder, so I'm like, god, what if I die on the table? Then it'll be not worth it. So I get paranoid, but anyway, so mine was a mess. His literally was perfect. Like, I was like, nothing wrong with the liver. Nothing wrong. I have cysts in my liver.
I feel like you son of a bitch.
I'm like, this motherfucker. Cysts in my liver. Cysts in my breast. Aww. Cysts in my ovaries. I'm so cysty. I have early onset spine disease, which is probably from my breast.
Where is this body scan? I want to go get one done.
So this is called Pronuvo.
Okay.
So it's like $2,500 and you get a full body MRI and they tell you everything that's wrong with you.
How long do you have to stay in
just
there
for? 1 hour and you watch Netflix.
It's so close.
They put
though.
Netflix. Oh. I know if you're claustrophobic.
I am so claustrophobic.
But it's open on both ends.
Yeah.
And there's a tech in there with you, and you have a little thing in your hand that if you get uncomfortable, you squeeze it. And because I'm like that too. Yeah, this is it, Pronuvo. And you get a full report of everything. Like literally from your head to your tippy toes. So they found everything in me. They, you know, the spine disease I had, I have the cyst in my ovaries, a cyst in my breast, a cyst in the middle of my brain. God, I'm trying to think. I had fluid in my cul-de-sac.
Did they give you any options for like healing this stuff?
Or so I went to my doctor, who I love, Dr. Imrani, and he basically told me like, you know, well, he had me do no gluten, no dairy for like a year, and all my cysts went away.
But
I love it too much to like do no gluten and no dairy. Like, bitch, I was eating
like.
That's
what I do. I'm no sugar, no
gluten,
no dairy.
How do you fucking eat, dude?
I eat the same. I'm like eat the same thing every day.
That's it. Mm. And so we were on tour. And I did it for a year, and I had no cysts, and I didn't feel any different, though. That was the thing. I only had no cysts, but I didn't feel any better.
Right.
And so I, on tour, I ended up being like, fuck it, I'm just eating whatever I want again, and all the cysts are back. But I don't feel any different, cysts or no cysts.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of weird. Like, I still have really painful periods. Mm. I still have, like, really bad endo. Like, you know, so it kind of is what it is. And, you know, my doctor's like, you don't really need to worry about it. It's, like, benign shit. Like, he had my breast cysts checked. They're just cysts.
Right.
You know, my liver cysts are just cysts.
Gotcha.
It's just cysts. So they're not going to do anything. The only one I have to watch is, like, the one in my brain. If it grows, it can cause neurological issues. Like, I need more of those. It's like already happening
it
right
might
now.
Heal you, though. You never know. It could like do the complete fucking opposite. At this point, like, what do we have to lose? Let's roll the dice, right?
Oh my God, just fucking eyes are like, are you okay? I'm fine. Start stuttering. No, but apparently, like, that's the only thing I really have to look out for. And then the spine disease. So I try to wear. My dad's always telling me, he's gonna yell at me. Put your shoulders back. So like my boobs are so heavy, they pull my spine forward.
When I had my boobs done, that was the same way. The implants were so heavy.
You still have big boobs.
These are my real ones. I had my
implants.
You're
like a D still.
Yeah, I had my implants taken out. But yeah, that's exact. I would hunch over too. And I still do that now because I'm so used to having those. I had those fucking kazongas for like 13 years.
Yeah.
So you got a nice rack there.
I'm a fucking 34 triple D.
They're nice.
I'm going to show you when we're done.
I can't wait.
They're crazy.
I can't wait.
They hurt. I mean, and then I thought about, I've thought about a breast reduction, but my husband's like, don't you dare. You're going to have that crazy scar. And like, they're so pretty.
No, if not, if you go to a microsurgeon.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They'll be able to do it like super, super thin.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I always feel like I had one girlfriend of mine who they took the nipple off and then they took, and then they put it back on and it looks crazy.
Yeah.
Looks like someone chewed on the nipples and sewed them back on. Like someone ate the pepperoni and then fucking put it back on. I'm like,
it's like a kid's pizza.
Yeah. I'm like, what is that? She had those beautiful nipples and then now they look like they fucking.
Damn it.
Frankenstein her back together. I was like,
oh, fuck. We hate that.
Shit, dude. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. Yours look great.
I love
you. So you had the explant.
Yes, I did.
That's good for you because that causes its own issues.
Yeah. Well, I had a lobster claw size scar tissue because my implant folded. So it was a whole thing. But it was because I was having such bad anxiety. Like, I did everything I could to clean my body out
God
and
bless.
Just to try to fucking heal, you know?
And
so.
You look great.
I love you.
And you, like, got good energy. You're
I love
good.
You
yeah,
so
dude.
Much.
You did a really good job. You walked
I
in here
you.
And I'm like, I can tell. And she's like, I don't eat sugar. I'm like, how do you live? Like, I'm over here, like, chugging my sugary ass. Like, I'm like, I need it or I'm going to start shaking. Yeah.
Oh, I appreciate you so much.
That's crazy.
Brittany, I can sit here and talk to you all night long. I feel bad because we did your podcast before this. I mean, I could just literally sit here and just pick your brain all day long, but I'm really looking forward to us hanging out and chilling because
dude.
I adore you. We got to get Tommy and Jay together.
Yeah, they would love each
dude,
other. Yeah,
we have to get them together because I have a feeling Jay's so childlike too.
Yeah,
they have the same fucking energy.
They
so.
Just play video games together.
Literally,
I'm dead. We're just sitting there.
Does
like,
Tommy play?
Yeah.
Oh my God, we got to link them on the game. Then
he plays the golf, like Top Golf.
Oh God. Jay does the. What does he play? Call of Duty.
Yeah,
so he's always
dude,
doing
love
it.
Love that shit. Aww. Oh my God, these guys. But God bless them. We're lucky to have them. They're good guys.
Definitely.
You know?
Well, they got good women too.
Amen.
Yeah, they got good pickers.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on the podcast. And come back every anytime you want to check in, yeah, if you have anything you want to promote or anything like that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we have our podcast, This Is the Worst, with me and Brittany Schmidt, and we talk about all the worst things that have ever happened to us and anyone else. You can write in and tell us your worst stories. And I do the jewelry, which is just Lovely Jewelry on Instagram. And
Lovely, like, with two E's.
Yeah, yeah. And then I'm doing stand-up. I post dates just like randomly. I'm not like on tour right now, but I've been doing L.A. So if you're in L.A.
Which I'm so proud of you for doing that, like for getting back into it.
Yeah, it's therapy for sure. Yeah. Aw, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.
You're the best.
Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Dumb Blonde. I'll see you guys next week. Bye.